and welcome to another episode of Tennessee Fro is Reading. Girl, where you been and what you been doing and what you gonna be talking about today? Well, it's very simple. Gonna just give a summary on COVID and other questions people ask me as a physician. Sometimes I forget I actually am one. And just general COVID shenanigans and what I'm eating, what I'm reading, what I'm writing. And I hope you enjoyed this episode and thank you for listening. Way Too Sexy, featuring Future and Young Thug on Drake's new album, Way Too Sexy. Now, I know I'm old. This album dropped a minute ago, meaning several weeks ago. There was some beef or some talk about it. And when Donda's Kanye's album came out, that there was supposed to have been some competition, stalling, whatever the tactics are. All I know is there are 957 million tracks on this record, and out of all of them, this is the only one I actually liked. Not so controversial, the backup with Future. Future and his 959 kids, and Young Thug, I don't know anything about him, but everybody knows about Future and his ho-ish ways. But there are other controversial artists on this record. He seems like he had a collab with everyone, including, it's Lil Baby and not Da Baby. Okay, makes sense. Because he said some trash things, and I had him as my ringtone for a number of years because he's from Charlotte in North Carolina. But so my property and broke, and now I'm transitioning my medical care to Tennessee. So my break with North Carolina is basically free. But I digress. I think that's a great way to basically talk about what I'm listening to and what I am reading about. One of the things I do, why I like producing my passion project, my podcast, is because I started it as kind of like a protest to the garbage that was on TV. There was just nothing entertaining, and I'm such a nerd, and reading, it just got really difficult. Keeping myself positively entertained. And when I was in Kentucky for that brief moment, I was not in the happiest place. I was deep in the heart of Dixie, and even more so than I am now, in formerly coal country, right up or near the West Virginia border, and I absolutely hated it. I hated who I was when I was there, and I hated how I was treated. It was a depressing time, but to keep myself from falling down that sunken whole place of depression and doom, I started creating this podcast. I would hope that I would gotten bigger, better at doing it. But I'm still learning, and I am finding out that just to create a basic podcast, you need the software and know how to use it. So it would help if you got the software and then you read the owner's manual to figure out actually how to use it, because I have so many things right at my fingertips just on my computer as it stands. And it's actually pretty cool that I get to create. Now it just gets me dreaming about one day hiring minimum, maybe the assistant or someone else that I could just focus on scripting the podcast and having somebody else actually be the front person. But I'm nowhere near that at this time. So I get to explore and script and then have to record the podcast. And This month has been a lot better. It hasn't been as crazy as had been previously. Trying to close on a house, buy an electric car. Yes, I have the electric VW. And I will go on record and say this. Having the plant local means nothing and gives you no advantages about having that electric car. There's still very few technicians that can actually fix it if something goes down and you can get wait listed. But overall, it is a smooth ride, and it's kind of a fun ride. But it's a learning experience, not only for me, the owner, but also for the local dealerships. With that said, and I don't go anywhere, and now I've developed another phobia about being around large crowds of people that I don't know, because I'm so afraid of getting the only person that's fully vaccinated, getting the Delta variant, and getting extremely sick. So I'm now embarking on the second phase of looking at how to revamp my show and keep it interesting for people that want to listen to it. You know, what does a middle-aged woman, I just turned 50 this year, what does a middle-aged woman do with her time that she is a voluntary recluse? I got to find ways to be interesting because I don't want to drive anywhere. I hate driving, even though I have a great truck and a great electric car. I don't want to go anywhere because people are crazy and they're stupid. But I can still entertain myself. Spent, for example, there's so much music that's been released, as I said, alluded to with Drake. But then I have so much music that I've bought previously, like I'm unpacking and I'm finding my old CDs. My mother bought me a boombox and one of my first CDs that she also bought me in addition to Jamie Foxx was Mary J. Blige, What's the 411? I'm finding all of that stuff again. I'm making room I'm actually probably going to end up bringing my boombox back here because my record player, but it's also, I have record player up front too. That's a whole other subject right there. I have a whole music cabinet full of LPs, but I also, I think those are up front. My DVDs as well as my CDs are actually up front. And it would be just really fun listening to the sound quality of those tracks because now that we're so used to the iPods and the streaming, in order to get that music out and allow it to be streamed, the music is actually truncated into little packages. So you don't get the richness of the sound like we used to back in the day with the boom boxes and et cetera. And it would be just kind of cool to be able to compare how things listen on my computer and my headset versus on a real boom box with the massive speakers. I also listen to other podcasts because it gives me ideas about how to produce my own, how to outline what I want to talk about, and also what to steer away from. I don't mind telling you guys that my top three podcasts at this time are Even the Rich, because that is a scripted podcast about lifestyle and celebrities, and they've been doing a multi-part series on Mariah Carey. And every time I listen, I learn something new. I had no idea she and Derek Jeter were a thing. I listen to The Read religiously because they crack me up. They are just so funny and how they vibe off of each other. Even the Rich, if you can get past the affected accents of those girls, and they sound like rich black valley girls. It's hysterical. But I also compare and contrast them with the host Kid Fury and Crystal for The Read, urban, true just black. She's from Oklahoma, he's from Miami. Both are gay, and they are the best of friends, and you can tell, and how they support each other, they feed off of each other, and they almost read each other's thoughts, and they make a great dynamic. And then there is how I found out about Even the Rich. I listened to Demetri L. Lucas's Ratchet and Respectable. I like how she actually is famous, and I'm actually reading her book, A Bell in Brooklyn now, and she's one that got me to change the intensity and subject matter of my podcast. I would love to be able to get so many downloads and be able to be on par with her, because she's single, she's a solitary podcaster or presenter. She's obviously a journalist, worked for Essence, and she did a lot of freelance stuff. And she has great sponsorship. She has a merchandise. It was encouraging that she, I also developed my own merchandise store for my brand, and I'll revamp it and add certain things. But it was through, what I was alluding to is I get ideas about my podcast and altering it based on the podcast that I actually listen to. And also the black man who tips. He and his wife are from Charlotte. So I still have one connection to Charlotte. And they also have sponsorship. They talk about reading is a part of their, and comments are a part of their podcast. And they're very, very urban directed. And my cousin Viva hit me to them, and I just started re-listening to them again. They went through a revamp, and their platform, for whatever reason, wasn't updating on Podbean for a while, but now they're back on publishing on Podbean with a whole revamped, an entirely revamped profile photo. So it's actually looking really good. And I was supposed to be looking for their Reading Rainbow remix by, I think it's Insane Vibe or something of that nature. But when I listened to them, one of their episodes last week, I was absolutely just blown away and couldn't remember why I had stopped listening to them. And one of them was because I primarily listen to my podcast on Podbean. And I very seldom, even though my podcast is actually published on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, and Amazon, I very seldom listen to those platforms when I listen to podcasts. But I'm grateful for everyone, because I also look at the statistics for my show, that a lot of people access my podcast from different platforms, specifically through Podbean. But I'm just thankful that people listen to mine from all of those other Podbean being one of like the eight, you know, that people actually access my this particular show. So also I did like a promo video that I posted on Instagram, and I promised if the comments were not so trolly, I would be honored to actually give a shout out to positive comments, you know, on the show. And there was one, besides the usual people, my friend Yvonne, I've gotten several just really cool people have shouted out, and in particular about my efforts to up my podcast game. But one of these in particular, Britain Media, shout out to Britain Media. Their positivity actually made me smile as they comment on my video short on Instagram. And that's also a journey in itself too, because you have to, finding new ways to use all of, not only use my platform in a positive light to educate and to entertain, but also how to tie those things all together so it's not so tedious and redundant, because I'm my own production staff. I don't have anybody to do the post, but the recording, the editing, and then post it on the different platforms, all of that is on me. So I'm still learning. And I got time because it's free, you know, it's free to everyone that listens and that follows me. And I don't have any sponsorships, so I don't have a lot of restrictions. So it would be great to have sponsorships, but it also seems to me would be an almost burden to also have sponsorship. But I don't mind shouting out people that shouting out to people that actually, they're not trolls. They're not trying, doing things for clout. They genuinely like what I'm doing. And that in itself is absolutely the coolest. So let me see if I can, it's like Britain Media. Make sure I spell this right. Britton Media. They got marketing. Oops, what is this? Podcast. What is that? Oh, they actually are podcast editors. Let me see. What is there? How many people are following them? Ooh, and they got 2955 followers. Huh. Reach your audience and boost viewership. Just when you thought. And I'm hoping by tagging them in my post, they'll actually see this and maybe repost it and give me, and we may be able to do a collaboration where I actually can work with them to possibly not only help with editing the podcast, but also reaching an even greater audience. That would be kind of cool. So, thank you, Britain Media, for that tag and reaching out to my video last week. I greatly appreciate it. What else is going on in the world? COVID shenanigans. I like saying that. So we're finding people, we're slowly creeping up, at least in Hamilton County anyways, to about 50% adult population that, or the population of the county, I should say, that is fully vaccinated or one shot. And there's still people that are hesitant. And some of the people that are hesitant, it doesn't make any sense to me because a lot of these people are drunks and drug dealers and drug addicts. This one girl refused to get vaccinated, but she drops acid and she's a Trumper, so I guess you gotta drop acid to be a Trumper. Who knew? This and she said she wouldn't get vaccinated. Now she has COVID. And I'm not sure how well she's doing with it because about 90, it's still 90, 97% people that are hospitalized on vents that are sick as crap are the unvaccinated. So there you go. We in Williamston, I think it's Williamston County, or Williamston, Tennessee, that there is a group of Karens that is suing each individual school board member, the president, the mayor, for a mask mandate. This is what you call paper terrorism because their brief is 250 pages. It's probably going to be thrown out because of nonsense. I just can't. I'm tired of even talking about these stupid people. I'm tired of these yappy mouth Karens screaming at the top of their lungs, making fun of a kid that lost his grandmother, marching down to the school board with their little fat kid on their hip. It just blows my mind that these people are anti-science and just plain stupid. I need to tell them to I want to throat punch all of them and tell them to go sit down somewhere because they're just not listening and they're not getting it. And they are tying up the courts with these frivolous lawsuits because they're stupid. Stop it. That's all I want to say is stop it. What else? Oh, I was going to talk about monoclonal antibodies because a friend of mine asked me, how do they work? So, basically, let me see. This is from, what is this? Healthline, as well as the COVID information, coronavirus information, compilation from the CDC. As well as I'm hopeful, NIH. Let's just go back. The 7-day rolling average, but I don't absolutely trust this. There have been 614 deaths, 60,893 cases, reported in Hamilton County. But getting back to my original question, these antibodies actually target a spike protein on COVID-19. And this particular protein is how they basically enter the cells. By binding to this protein, it helps prevent the virus from infecting human cells. I also thought that in remdesivir, I believe it decreases the replication of the virus. But because COVID-19 is so stealth, I'm not sure that by the time that you're showing symptoms, you probably already are infected. So I'm not sure if the cat's out of the bag. So as soon after that you test positive, you basically should probably get this to keep it from getting sick because you don't really get sick until it really infects the cells, from what I'm understanding. But these people, by the time they get tested, they're symptomatic. And then by the time they can get in to get the infusion, they may continue to get sick. So that explains to me why a lot of the people that I'm seeing when I'm through my job that they still are getting sicker in spite of getting this infusion, because it may be COVID-19 is at such a high viral load that it's already replicated and it's already entered the cells and it's already, you know, the cat's out of the bag, because this immunological storm that it releases and unleashes is the collateral damage. By the time, if you already have COVID lung, it's probably too late for you to get the monoclonal antibody. But you can't tell people that, because they want to throw everything at it, including an anti-parasite like ivermectin, which has no effect on a virus. Sorry, parasite, virus is two different organisms. So knowing now how it works, basically it, once you, I'm not sure that you would even be positive by the time you test, you may be symptomatic by the time you test positive, and it may only work if you only have mild symptoms. But some of the people that are getting this infusion, not necessarily when the cat's out of the bag, because once it gets in, you get infected, and that cascade of immunological storm is going on. I don't think we actually have something that's going to reverse that. I mean, the earlier that you give this, the monoclonal antibody, the better. But by the time people are actually getting it, it may be absolutely too late. I think we need something like interferon inhibitors or something else that could allow you to fight the infection, but decrease the crazy immune response that you get to the infection. That's maybe where the second wave of prevention and intervention lies. Stamping down the immunological response so you don't get blowout lungs and the other multi-organ failure that is rampant with COVID, because it basically turns on everything. So look at me being the scientist that I am. I actually, this week, I started this trend about Tuesday or Wednesday. I eat out, and I try to eat at different restaurants and then talk about it and take pictures of it on my Instagram feed, because I think there's beauty in food. I'm just saying. But this week, I decided that I wanted, who actually had some good fried chicken besides the usual chains, the usual suspects. I've tried chicken at a variety of different places. Uncle Larry's, I had his catfish. I thought it was better, slightly better seasoned than the whiting, but I wasn't all that impressed. So I tried a new place that I didn't know existed in downtown called The Shack. And I basically am now in love with their chicken gizzards, which are not too salty. Put some more, a little bit of Tabasco on them, and it tamps down the salty. But they also had perfectly seasoned. Their fried chicken is off the chain, and they basically drop it right before the Grubhub driver actually will come and pick it up, whose name is Kevin. Giving him shout outs, because he basically said he lives near there and he eats there, he says, quite often. And he hit me to what to order, and they basically only will cook it, start cooking it right before he actually goes to pick it up. So by the time, and he also gave me a warning that it's probably piping hot, so be careful. That's when you know, number one, the chicken's going to be off the chain, and number two, that driver absolutely cares. And I'm hopeful there is a way that I can actually increase this tip, because I really absolutely liked how he basically gave me, warned me And it was just a preempt to how good this chicken and the gizzards and the pork chops were going to be. And I also did today, I have an air fryer. I'm one of the 50 million people that bought air fryers during the pandemic. Putting those perfectly fried pork chops for about 5 minutes at two, three, I think it's 390, in my air fryer. Revitalized these mugs, and I actually absolutely had a fried egg with perfectly sliced tomatoes with just a little bit of salt and pepper and croissant. And I basically took a video of my breakfast from this morning. Oh, girl, and the coffee from Mad Priest. This was basically a Sunday brunch for the stars. I absolutely had a fun morning being creative, cleaning up and rearranging. I got to unpack and rearrange my front room and my back room while chasing Ethel so she and keeping her from eating paper. I actually woke her up this morning. She posted up in my bed and she was, I guess, warm and comfy that she didn't wake me up at her usual 6:15 like she does during the week. But we both took it, had a late morning, a later start, but I absolutely got a whole bunch done. And one of those things was creating the video for my YouTube channel. Check it out on Dale's Angels Inc. with the link that's in the podcast notes, as well as on Tim Fro is Reading Instagram page. You'll actually see post my post of coffee, and you can check out even the China teacup that I actually use to post my instant Mad Priest coffee. Mad Priest is a coffee roaster that's actually local here to Chattanooga. They have a couple of shops here in town. I dig and I really love their instant coffee that basically is in, it's not like Sanka or Folgers or anything like that. They actually have, I believe it's a Colombia blend, medium roast coffee that looks like a tea bag but is straight up gangster Mad Priest perfectly roasted coffee. So check out those pictures on Instagram and also navigate to madpriest.com and order your own because I had to do my re-up because I was down to my last half a bag of coffee beans. And you know that was not going to fly in my world because coffee in my house. Part of my Sunday routine is not just feeding Ethel Mertz, but also I get up and I take medication, make coffee, fix a meal. Usually, by the time I get all of that done, it's usually brunch time. So, and today, my Sunday brunch was all of that in a bowl of grits. I'm just saying. But one of those things is I've gotten the New York Times, Sunday New York Times now, since about 2005, 2006. I've changed the address and I've been several times. Actually, I had to stop it for the time that I was actually back in North Carolina. Charlotte, yes. Fayetteville, no. I actually had to go to Barnes and Noble to pick it up. And then there was a part when the pandemic hit that it even wasn't available at Barnes and Noble because they weren't getting deliveries because it was closed. That's neither here nor there. But now I'm back as far as reading the New York Times, in particular, business section, book review, styles, arts and leisure. And I'm always struck about a lot of some of the stuff that I'm getting, of course, gives me ideas about what not only to include in the podcast, but also what I should or can read upcoming. I'm always read seems like now I'm always reading at least two or three books at the same time. They now that people are out and about again, the vow section has picked up. I realized that The travel section, which I used to save, that has not, that's gone from quarantine and at home to now neither one of those sections are a part of the time. So I don't know what they're going to be doing about that now that travel is picked up to a certain extent. But the single woman sports pages with vows is a lot different than it has been. The dresses, the pictures of the couples are much smaller, so I can't player hate these dresses, but I'm still taken with the variety of couples that are getting married. The pandemic now has, now that people, we found out there's stories about, like the tiny stories about people breaking up and the strain on relationships and the restrictions on movement because of the pandemic. Now we're seeing a blossoming of love and a blossoming again of people absolutely getting married and showing their opulent marriages in the times. But I'll get back to that. But I also read something that I needed to include in the podcast about what I'm reading. It's an article by Sarah Maslin Nair, a sovereign citizen claimed her New Jersey home as his own. A black woman by the name of Shanita Little was a victim of fraud, and I'm not sure if it was fraud or if it was just some elaborate hoax, because a man basically said this is his ancestral home. He claimed through some obscure 18th century policies that he was a more sovereign citizen, and he was claiming her house that she had worked her life for as his own. This is one of the many extremist groups, black extremist groups, that have been born out of white nationalism, because there are a whole bunch of white nationalists that also claim the same bullshit that local laws, the laws of this country don't apply to them, so they don't pay taxes, and they don't follow anybody's laws. And unlike the white supremacists, these Moorish fools are going to need to basically relax, because we do live in an inherently racist society where policemen will rather shoot them instead of deal with them. They're not going to do like they, not necessarily, they're not going to do like this New Jersey police did and talked him out of a house that he obviously didn't own. And it also would have gone a lot different, I think, in Tennessee, because we are an open carry state. I wish you would roll up, have the locks change, break to my house, have the locks change, and claim that that this is your shit. I wish you would. I worked my butt off for 3 years to come up with the down payment and closing costs on this house. I wish you would stop it. You need to go sit down somewhere and keep it moving. Because there is no way this would have gone way left in Tennessee if they had rolled up on the wrong person. But I found it, and I think Miss Little said something so poignant. He says that these people have basically grown out of, as I said, the oppression of white supremacy. But she basically summarized it perfectly. The Moors claimed to be about black liberation and opportunity and uplifting black people. They meant black men, because women don't count in this, their dynamic. Miss Little said in an interview, "But he is literally oppressing me and taking what's mine as a black woman." They basically, if you look at white supremacy is supremacy of white men. With subservience of women, and nobody else outside of them don't have a voice. So they're basically replicating white supremacy, but they're being extra with it. And she's totally right. And if they try this crap anywhere else, they will be dealt with on an individual basis. I'm just saying. And everything is not theirs for the claiming, just like everything for the white supremacists is not theirs for the claiming. I also, as I mentioned at also at the top of this section about what I'm reading, going on to about what I'm reading, I've actually added, I'm going to go back to my Chatterbooks bookstores. Yes, I still have an online bookstore, and y'all are tripping because y'all, no one has ordered, besides me, hasn't ordered anything for a minute from my online bookstore. You can navigate to bookshop.org/shop/Chatterbooks to basically check out all the merchandise, swag, book swag, nerd swag that you can find. But I've also added several books updating it just in time for this podcast. Unbound basically dropped with Tarana Burke. I actually added that, and it was available for pre-order weeks ago. Gabrielle's Union's best-selling book, You Got Anything Stronger. This is a follow-up to her first book of We're Going to Need More Wine. And she basically goes deeper in her struggle with infertility, infidelity with her husband, and how she, as a stepmother, how she's dealing with raising a trans child. I think it's going to be a great read. And and for those people that don't know, Tarana Burke is one of the co-founders or the founder of the Me Too movement. But a lot of other Karens have actually taken credit for it. Colson Whitehead, Pulitzer Prize winning author, his book Harlem Shuffle just dropped. Call and Response, the story of the Black Lives Matter movement, written by Veronica Chambers of the New York Times, that dropped. How the Word is Passed by Clint Smith has dropped. The Ones Who Don't Say They Love You by Maurice Carlos Ruffin also dropped this week. There's just a bunch of good reading that is available for the picking, and I'm hoping you will navigate to bookshop.org/shop/Chatterbooks and support a sister in her many streams of income endeavors. I'm just saying. But one of the books that I did add that's not new to the New York Times bestseller list or new at all, because I think it was published in the 80s. It's Somerset Homecoming, a book by Dorothy Sproul Redford. I bought this in 2019, and I basically read it in 48 hours this past week. And I'm wondering why I'd never read this book prior. This woman found herself and found her family through connections from a former plantation in the Dismal Swamp in North Carolina. It basically showed how fractured our history, Black history, is. And if you're going to be disconnected from your history and past, you're always going to be stuck. How can you move forward without unknowing and understanding your past? It's about 21 family lines, basically from this plantation, which could have been their death. But it basically not only got me thinking about my own story, but which I'm thinking about completely overhauling, but at the same time, maybe writing or considering, are there similar stories about Tennessee? Tennessee is rife with this type of rich history. I saw this movie earlier today about the life and times with Joan Crawford and her playing Peggy, the great niece of Andrew Jackson, who plantation owner of the Hermitage. And I didn't know just how those jackal stuck up white women in DC basically hated her and called her a country bumpkin. And she not only probably she died of like lung cancer because she did smoke a pipe, but I'm sure her heart was broken because her own people, it's a caste system. Again, white supremacy at its worst. Even though her husband was the president, it still did not protect her from being ridiculed by these jackals. And then, what else have I been, I wanted to talk about? I have been on a rampage, and I didn't know just how much this writer's critique of Fox's new black anchored series called Our Kind of People premiered that just this past Tuesday. This fool Kevin McDonough has his articles or his writings appear in my local paper as part of, it's not the metro section because we don't really have metro because it's only, we're just, Chattanooga's a small city, but in the region section where they have like the TV guide kind of thing. So he basically wrote this scathing critique of the show. Initially, I wasn't going to watch it because I did not want to accidentally have something stupid from Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, or even Herschel Walker popping up on the screen. But when you have Hulu Plus, evidently it allows you to basically pick and choose. You do get commercials, but you don't get exposed to all the BS that comes with watching the show live, like on Fox. So that's good. But what I did, and I went from not wanting to watch it to watching it like five times. The writer, and I'm thinking executive producer, is Lee Daniels of Empire fame. And then there's Karen Giss, African-American woman, who it tripped me out because she actually, her and now her wife were just married in Scotland in Claire Conroy Brown's and truly ancestral home, not like these Moorish fools in Jersey, but that's, I digress. She actually got married this past week of September 11th. It looks like beautiful dress, natural hair. And her name is Karen, which is funny. The black girl is named Karen, K-A-R-I-N. And the white girl is Claire Conroy Brown, of all things. But anyways, and both actually Karen is actually one of the executive producers with Lee Daniels. But I say all of that to say this. These people, it is a show based on probably a subject that black people have always dealt with, because I thought it was just a mini series like The Inkwell, which is that came out in the 90s about Martha's Vineyard and black classism. And it was startling that what irked me, and the more I started writing and the more I would keep rewatching it, I realized that how wrong this Kevin McDonough and other news outlets are when they basically torch our shows. The shows that are truly meant for us, that are really an African-American storyline. it was obvious that Lee Daniel and Karen Gist did not write this for a larger audience, and they did not care. What they were trying to show is Black opulence and Black beauty in its purest form, and not trying to reach out to the masses. And it seems like it pissed off Kevin McDonough. That's why he trashed it. And that's why it seems that the game is so rigged. The Emmys had all of these great Black shows, including Lovecraft Country, and the late Michael K. Williams. They were all nominated for these all of these awards, but except for Michaela Cole, nobody got an award at the Emmys. But we dominated the nominations, but we were all Susan Lucci'd as far as absolutely getting an Emmy. And this is why. We got some white guy, out of touch, middle-aged white guy. Not only we got people telling our stories, but we also got them trashing the stories when we absolutely tell them from our perspective. And it's like you get penalized for writing a show specifically to entertain us without dumbing it down or carrying it up to make it more entertaining to the masses. They just don't, they're not trying to do that. They wanted, it's juicy and it's fun. He said the dialogue was stiff and strident. There was no conversation. They just delivered speeches or manifestos. It's like these same people that went off on Colin Kaepernick because he says, why don't you just play the game, entertain me, but you're not going to educate me. Why wouldn't we? Why can't you? Why don't you think that there are successful Black people that are not just tokens, but they're running shit like the Franklins are? And no, I didn't think the dialogue was that stilted. I thought all of those actresses and actors were in their element, and they were in their skin without trying so hard. It wasn't like the game. It wasn't like anything that I have seen or seen since. And it made me proud. I was proud of the fashion show. I was proud of the celebration of African-American hair. It was obvious that they had the budget, they had the time, they had the writers, and they had the actors and actresses playing a part that they were the most skilled at playing. They were in their skin. They were in their element. They were not trying to be something that they weren't. And it was refreshing. The only thing I would have I wrote this and I'm after watching it multiple times and actually making my own conditioner based on the African crown formula of the main character, Yaya's main character. I said, show me with flashbacks from the conch to afros reimagined to intricate hairdressings in Africa or vice versa. Telling the story, showing me the story. Instead of several monologues, but that wasn't the case. Since I've rewrote that and then rewatched the show, there wasn't a whole bunch of stilted speeches. There was the one crazy speech by, which will come up, Yaya's, who ends up being her half-sister, but that's not revealed yet. She just basically remembers who is her father, and Yaya's character is actually also a Franklin. So I just thought about that. If the legitimate daughter is the heir apparent, how is that going, the inheritance going to be affected by now the appearance of Yaya And how is that going to, that's how they're going to continue the strife between them, because there's going to be, I'm sure, a struggle for Franklin Industries and the inheritance. He says, he asks, can't anyone engage in small talk without invoking their case and their struggle? Well, no. And that is how small talk, I don't know where he's been, but professional small talk, Black's professional small talk looks just like that in networking. Obviously, he's never been to some of these networking events. This is another instance of someone commenting on a subject or an experience that they could not possibly understand, but they hold sway in influencing how well a production does and if the creatives will get more deals. Also, it shows how rigged the system is. You say that they want diversity, but unseen forces outside of your control are in place to keep you from succeeding and making it just over the edge. And critics like Kev McDonough are part of the problem. Also, paternalistic white supremacy is carried over, how it's carried over into Black society, but just look more extra. And that's how you basically perceive how this class and caste system is absolutely portrayed in our kind of people. Also very restrictive and misogynistic. We take it one step pure, like one step higher. Father Franklin, Teddy Franklin main character, when he goes up, try to go off on his daughter, he basically is ticked off because I'm sure he would rather her to have had a son, instead of having to pass all of that on to a girl, who he doesn't think is worthy or able to carry on and do the sadistic and, materialistic things that he's absolutely done. I don't understand that white men like this McDonough character would never understand this type of storyline, a very modernistic take on Dallas from the 70s and 80s. He ain't a Black man. I'm sure he doesn't have a Black family. But the insular nature of the super wealthy Black families, if he could never even fathom it. It sounds like to me this fam out, he can't, most people think of old school like money. They think of the ball players and entertainers, but they don't think of these Black industrialists with deep old school money from hard work from the beginning of the 20th century. They relatively are new money, but they represent that old money part of Black, our Black heritage that most people don't know about. They try to stay on the low because they don't want to attract any unwarranted player haterism, but people know about them. And it's obvious that this Madonna cat doesn't know, and he can't even fathom how it would really be or how it even functions. A true Black society would actually function. If you don't know the dead balls and a lot of Black society, which is a very secretive society in its own, and because of its insular nature, he could never get that. He's always had access. He has operated on kind of like the British press and the handling of cousin Princess Meghan. They belittle that girl and they rip up to shreds on her because no one is basically telling them not to. And how dare you rock the boat and demand something different? This is how McDonough is acting. And I also like how the end of the subject or the end of the series is she suspects, but she knows she's going to need firm proof that she actually is part of this Franklin, even though she's illegitimate, and how she basically collects her own DNA sample of her possible half-sister. The sister wears a wig that the other Yaya's character had styled for the fashion show, collects the hair, I don't know, chain of evidence has been broken, but I find it rich that she actually is probably going to send it for 23andMe like I did not too long ago to basically prove that they are close relatives, and probably they're going to do that close sibling match. They're not cousins. Which would be even more of a question mark if they are not related, but neither is the daughter is a Franklin. Now that would be cool as hell. So there you go. Now that would be very Dallas or Falcon Crest if it finds out that not only is the heir apparent not a Franklin, but she's probably like some other, either a DuPont, which is another black elite family from this area, or she's like the mailman's daughter. Or that her husband, the DuPont, is absolutely probably like her half brother. That would crack me up, but that's neither here nor there. And I'm glad that he truly did talk ish about this show, because it made me want to listen and pay attention to it more often, and also commented on other platforms. I commented on how well I liked it and how many times I had watched it on Demetra L. Lucas's Instagram post. And I'm probably going to do not just a shout out, but has anybody else also watched the show? Because I absolutely liked it. I'm also, I don't think this is short lived, but it is. I'm going to have to see if there is a season two. This is Games People Play, premiered in 2019. Storyline, a cheating basketball wife, a basketball player cheats on his wife, and he gets traded to another team, but he continues to cheat, and the girl that he cheats with starts posting his butt on Instagram. You got people doing things for clout and to survive, and also the cheating ways of a basketball player, which if it was not so well written, I would have thought it was a production from, this is so mean, Tyler Perry. But I absolutely enjoyed it, and they weren't trying even as hard as the characters on My Kind of People. They actually seems like, even the basketball player, I don't think he's such a great actor, but his sidekick friend, I think is Malcolm or Malik or something like that, who got hurt and their path took very different, directions, but it's also juicy. There's a lot of sex. I was shocked that a story this good was on BET. That goes to show me that I need to stop listening again to a lot of people that are commenting on shows that are not meant for them and are definitely meant for me. I got to make a better effort. I say all of this to say is I've got to make my own effort to discover other creatives, shows that the creators look like me. I'm thinking it's not only going to be possible subject matter for my podcast, but I think I'm going to gain a better understanding of myself. It's going to help me understand my history, and it's going to allow me to become an even better and well-rounded person when I make the extra effort to discover these types of things. Instead of, now granted, I have a varied interest, and it comes from my ability to have to entertain myself, but I was very focused on Western civilization and European history. Why can't I focus on the African American and the African of it all? Because that's how I'm going to understand who I am and where I come from, and not continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And I think as I get better at picking my subject matter, and that makes me become a better creator, I speak this out as into the environment, into the world, that I think that is going to allow other potential partners like the Britain Medias of it all, and maybe back to even the Podbeam, to basically hit me up with the sponsorship or have some type of supporting role in a collaboration that will make me, not only will it supplement my income or my ability, because I don't see myself always doing what I'm doing now during the day. What if I could produce this show and make the same amount of money that I'm making, paying my bills, living my life on Forest Avenue, and being able to continue to create, but not have to punch the clock anymore? Don't get me wrong, I love what I do. I don't necessarily like all the people that I work with, but I do absolutely love what I do. But suppose it would be that I won't be dependent on that income, and my income is solely based on once, maybe even twice a week podcasting. I think there's somebody out there that's going to discover and like what I absolutely do and want other people to continue to listen to it. And there are people that will pay me to continue to produce those things in that manner. And I think that's the cool thing about doing this podcast. This could be my second act. And I hope all of you are going to be there for it and rooting me on, and player haters, because I honestly think the more you hate, then the better I have to get, because I got to prove you wrong, because I'm just stubborn like that. That is You Can Ring My Bell Through from the Queen of Disco, Anita Ward. And this is how I'm going to introduce, because I use this as the ringtone for the main character of Black Woman Down. This is the second part of this series titled Amina Is Missing. And you can say this is ripped directly from the headlines. If you have been living under a rock, out of the country, or just simply hiding in the nature reserve in Florida, you know that Gabby Petito's body was found. And I'm thinking, like most people are thinking, there was foul play involved in her disappearance, as well as she was also a victim of domestic violence. And that's the impetus and the influence of the story itself. Pretty macabre stuff, but I hope you vibe with it and just let me know how you think about it at the end of the podcast notes, or leave it information in the podcast comment section. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
never would have thought that I would be using my reed weaving skills learned all those years ago when my mother would drag me south to learn from the Gullah women in the market in Charleston. This mat has served me well in the last couple of days, I think. I get to sleep in the trees to keep me away from bears and other critters. This outdoor living is more than my expectation as Frank and I crossed over the United States on what was supposed to be our big adventure. But then again, I didn't think he would try to kill me and throw my body down an embankment. I guess my heart had that got me punishment as a kid this time saved my life. The nausea and fog of the first few days and all that spinning, I seem to have adapted to it, and I only feel it sometimes. I think I know, or I took some body blows, but then again, it could have just been from me rolling down that embankment where my ribs were cracked, and now they only ache a little now. I keep them wrapped up in the duct tape that was part of my shroud. I need to get up and moving before the day gets too hot when the sun rises high in the sky. My makeshift fish traps are a bonanza. I get two decent trout and another tasty mudfish. I clean them with my Swiss Army knife. Glad I had that in my pocket. Couldn't use it as a weapon, I guess. That attack was so swift. I gather some herbs, wrapping the fish, and then applying the tacky river mud. Allow it to dry a little bit around my meaty morsels before I lay them in the rock-lined pit, topping it, and then building a fire. I let the fire burn down to the embers, keep stirring them and adding more or less trial and error. It would take the fish a little over an hour and a half to cook in this crude oven. It would kill possibly any microbial, but it would cook the fish to perfection. And then it would serve as a great and convenient transport, feeding me throughout the day. I rake aside the embers, extinguishing the flames, using a couple of sticks as tongs, and I remove one of these glowing morsels. Bake hard from the fire, using a small stone, I crack open the meaty package, and the scent of the perfectly cooked fish, steamed vegetables, and herbs waft out. And I'd simply dig in, savoring each bite made spicy by the roots and the other herbs I had added. I bury the mess and make sure the fire is out. I pack up the cool fish packets in my bedding and hammock, and I start my hike for the day. I continue along this creek, and I begin to notice smaller streams emptying into it and widening it a bit. I would have to alter my path as the creek begins to widen, possibly to dump into a river tributary. I just simply adjust and keep moving with the sun high in the sky. I decide to take a break and sit on one of the rocks with the creek burbling around it. I start reflecting on things in general and how I attach myself to a murderer. I set the remnants of my breakfast, made lunch aside. I feel the heat seeping through my clothes, and I catch a distorted image of myself in the water, remarking on how beat up my face looks. The blood from the headshots crept into my forehead, giving me more of a five head dragging down my brow. I know I have to make it. I have to make it back. Because I know my mother is worried about me. Man, I gotta get Amina to teach me how to change that ringtone, I think. This is Charlotte. Hello, ma'am. My name is Susanna Jones. I'm the manager and owner of Outdoors RVs here in Tennessee. May I speak to your daughter, Amina Jameson? Well, that's my daughter. I'm her mother. She's not here. Actually, she's on the road. She left several weeks ago and was driving cross country in the van that she actually rented from y'all. Yes, ma'am. We've actually been trying to reach her for the last couple of days. My agent found the van she rented blocking the entrance gate to the lot. Wait, I don't understand. She's been on the road with her boyfriend since May, and she wouldn't have just dropped it. Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry. My name is Lieutenant Brandy Davis of the Hamilton County Sheriff's Department. My daughter has been following your daughter's post all of these months. And when I got the call on the non-urgent line from Miss Jameson, I had to join in the search because I could not face answering my daughter. Wait, I don't understand. Where is my daughter? Ma'am, we don't know. I checked her feed and there's been no post since her last post from Yellowstone about a week and a half ago. When was the last time that you spoke to your daughter? Lord Jesus. I guess it's been about that long, but I got some weird text from her about a week ago, saying she was okay and they were getting ready to move on. But I haven't heard anything since. And my last call, I tried to call her yesterday, but it went to voicemail. And I just thought that she was going to answer me back sometime later. Yes, ma'am. This is Susanna again. We've checked the feeds and about a couple of days ago, a tall man with a FUBU shirt gets out of the van and parks it. That would be her jackass boyfriend. Yes. And he closes the door and he gets into another passenger car. We can't see the image of the driver of that car is a little bit blurry, but it's a woman, we believe, given her small stature and profile in braids. Just doesn't sound right. She wasn't supposed to come back early. And she definitely would not let that fool drive a car that was in her name. Something is very wrong. Yes, ma'am, this is Officer Davies. That's what we feel. Do you have an address on the jackass, ma'am? Yes. I have his name and address and email if you need them. I think we still have time, though, because if she really wasn't on this earth or breathing, I think I would have felt that. She's out there somewhere, and I think she's hurt. Yes, ma'am, I think you're right, and I won't stop until I find her. Thank you so much, Officer Davies. How can I help? Where do you think we need to start? Well, I think we need to start at Yellowstone and work our ways forward. But first, we have to find out where Mr. Frank Benjamin is. I think he has some explaining to do. Yes, I do think you're right. Why wouldn't I end this episode with Megan Thee Stallion mixing it up with BTS in the Butter remix? This is a great bop, and it's a great and seemingly uplifting song. I like the groove to it. But as always, this was a great opportunity for me to just sit and chat and give you my views on what I'm reading, what I'm eating, what I'm listening to, and what I'm watching. And I hope you would leave me some comments or suggestions on future show, wherever you listen to this podcast, or navigate to use 10froisreading@gmail.com. If the comments or suggestions are not too trolly, I'll actually mention them on the show. And again, big shout outs to Britain Media for their positive comments on Instagram. And again, you can follow 10froisreading on Instagram. I also make comments intermittently on TV Food and Wine Girl on my Twitter handle, as well as Lenny's Coat on Facebook. And this has been a great Sunday to create, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Don't forget, buy a book at Chatterbooks, buy merch on my Dell's Angels Inc. blog shop, and let them know that Tim Fro sent you. You guys have a great rest of your day. Happy beginnings to your week. Work hard, and as always, keep smiling and support the show. A sister needs to make her scratch. Have a great day, y'all. Bye.